there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, it's not really, this week, it's not so much a Christmas horror movie podcast as it is a Thanksgiving horror movie podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't informed of this.
Jeff, your favorite holiday?
Yes.
Thanksgiving? You didn't even know?
I didn't know. Couldn't be already.
Sorry, I'm sorry. That's low hanging fruit. Fat guys like Thanksgiving. I apologize. That joke isn't very funny.
You're not wrong, Jay. You're not wrong.
But it is low hanging fruit. Yes. In fact, it'll be 2 weeks of Thanksgiving coverage here on Horror for the Holidays, because I believe if you tune into next week's Stocking Stuffers, we're gonna be drafting Thanksgiving meals.
We should.
I think it's the perfect thing to do.
We should.
But before we get into that, we got to do a little bit of this and talk about 2015's Christie.
Do we have to, Jay?
Yes.
All right. If we have to.
Premiered on the Lifetime Channel October 17th, 2015.
Quality.
The mark of quality. I wonder how they aired it, because there are some things in this movie where I went, did that make it to Lifetime?
I was kind of curious, because I'm like, really? They let you just, like, gut people on Lifetime? Because there are a couple stabbing scenes where you could see some blood and stuff.
Like, it's not overly gory. No. I know we're kind of getting into some of the other stuff here. It's not overly gory, but, like, you see a dude get, like, hanged with a garden hose, and I'm like, that's a little dark for even a Lifetime movie, I would think, for basic cable, I would think.
Apparently not,
Jim. Apparently not. Directed by Ollie Blackburn, written by Anthony Jaswinski.
Boo.
Haley Bennett plays Justine. Ashley Green plays Violet. Lucas Till plays Justine's boyfriend, Aaron. We've got Chris Coy as Blue Hoodie, Mike Segal as Black Hoodie, and Lucius Fallick as Gray Hoodie.
Of course.
The three Hoodie brothers.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's basically an adequate description of them.
James Ransome plays Scott, and while having some bigger horror roles, my favorite is as Detective Nash in the 2008 Prom Night remake. I don't know that it's a great movie, but I remember enjoying it well enough.
I remember it.
Matthew St. Patrick plays Wayne, and we will see him again in Alien Raiders.
Oh boy.
That's all I got for cast and crew.
Well, I got a little behind the scenes info if you're interested in that,
Jim. Oh, sure.
So the script was acquired by Dimension Films in 2009. It was pitched as a spec script as something in the vein of The Strangers, which was popular.
Yeah, To me, it was like Strangers meets P2 is kind of what it felt like.
Premiered at the BFI London Film Festival on October 14th, 2014. It was officially selected, so somebody at the festival thought, you know, hey, this movie seems pretty good. It was actually released in Germany first.
Oh.
I was kind of surprised. It did modestly well there. Apparently, it also ran in the Philippines, Egypt, and Malaysia. So it does have an actual box office total.
Not very high, I believe, but, when I saw like $500,000.
Pretty low, but it did actually come out in movie theaters. But yeah, for whatever reason, the North American distributor was like, yeah, I can't see putting this in a movie theater.
And which, can't blame them.
Yeah. Although they did release it, I will say, October 17th, like we said. So not bad release window for a spooky movie.
Yep. Like, I could see the idea behind releasing this. Do I think, you know, Lifetime could have put it in November and kind of had it as like part of their Thanksgiving buildup?
Probably.
Maybe, but like, I also understand wanting to kind of be like, oh, Thanksgiving's fall. November is fall time. Halloween's fall time. This is kind of a Halloween movie.
Honestly, I think they probably wanted to be like, you know, we don't want to scare the moms that usually watch this channel with right. this when they're tuning in for their Thanksgiving rom-com. So we're going to put this around Halloween.
When they're watching all of the Christmas movies.
Yes, of course. $6.9 million budget, which kind of surprised me because I'm like, what the hell did they spend it on?
Renting out that giant campus.
I guess. That must have been to it.
Empty for the...
I guess that must have been it because I can't figure anything else in this movie that would have cost that amount. So I was like, basically, when I found that out, I'm like, okay, so it costs seven times as much as the Sacrifice game. And it's basically the same thing.
Tagline, run for your life. Although I was thinking... This is a Thanksgiving movie. It could have been Turkey Trot for your life.
Yeah, it could have been.
Sorry, that was a dumb joke I wanted to make. Where to watch Tubi?
Yeah.
It's a handful of places, but yeah, just watch it for free on Tubi. I don't know if there's physical copies for sale. Watch it on Tubi.
As far as I could find, there are not physical copies. Maybe somewhere on one of the Blu-ray sites might have it.
Or you know, people... You know, people will go and like rip a movie from Tubi and then just put it on.
Yeah.
Like put it on DVD and just sell that DVD.
I was going to say that's popular on Etsy. You might be able to find it on there.
Personal experience. I'd seen people talking about this as a Thanksgiving movie and had watched it at one point.
Personal experience. Jay was like, this is what we're doing for this episode.
Yep.
And I was like, again? He was like, yep, again. And
it's pretty similar. Pretty similar to the Sacrifice game. More similar than I remembered it being.
I was gonna say I was like, wow, this is, when Jay said similar, he meant similar.
Although one of the similarities shouldn't it all be involved in this. It's completely unnecessary. We'll cross that bridge.
I was gonna say it's one of the similarities is also one of its biggest weaknesses, I think, which is what I'm going to talk about in my broken bulb.
I've got three different broken bulbs because I'm like, they're all kind of
you know,
the
Jay,
same.
I don't want to spoil the reading of the synopsis, Jay, or anything, but let's just say it wasn't hard to find broken bulbs for this one.
All right. Well, we start off, we hear someone whisper, Christy. And we see a beat up looking car running and someone in a hoodie is sitting inside. The camera kind of pans along the grass and we see three men in hoodies walking away from like a section of tall grass. It occasionally like intercuts with images of like a girl screaming and like getting stabbed. And then as the last person in a hoodie walks away whistling Jesus Loves Me, and we see a girl laying in the grass and her throat slit with a K carved into her cheek.
Oh.
We then get like a voiceover about this body being found and the opening kind of credit sequence rolls, even though there aren't any real credits that roll during this section.
It's fine, Jay. It's fine.
It felt like it was ripe for there to be credits. And then I was like, there's no credits here. Yep.
No, that opening montage is like the perfect place to put the credits.
And we have a voiceover talking about how Christy is a follower of God.
Oh, God.
And so killing Christy is akin to killing God. And then works. We see like a dark web website mixed with satanic panic shit. Satanic panic shit.
Stroke again.
And man, this felt like the most like boomery understanding of like the dark web and like like satanic panic.
Painful. Also, I'm not following the logic here. I don't know if any of our audience, probably not our audience, has read the Bible or not, but God doesn't usually hesitate to sacrifice followers when he needs to. And I don't, it's like, that's like killing God. I'm like, that's not how that works.
That's not how that works at all. Title card, Christy. we are introduced to Justine and her boyfriend, Aaron, as they talk about how she can't go with him to Thanksgiving because she can't let her grades drop because of a scholarship and she has to work. So,
and she doesn't get along with his family.
And she doesn't get along. Yeah, there's so many excuses.
There's so many reasons why I can't leave, which again, I pointed this out when I was live tweeting my opening experience to Jay, as I usually do. There is no, all these movies do this. Oh, I don't get along with your family because I'm poor and you're rich. There is literally no reason he couldn't just buy her a plane ticket to go home and see her family.
It's like she it's supposed to be some Ivy League school. That's kind of the because like
she's there on a scholarship.
She's there on a scholarship. She clearly has to work.
Mm-hmm.
And but her best friend and roommate has a BMW. One, I must say, real fast. The dorm room is the most dorm roomy looking dorm room I've seen in maybe any of these movies we've done. Granted, I know like the Black Christmas movies, they're in a sorority house, like whatever. But like thinking back to even the house in like the Sacrifice Game, I'm like, that room is huge.
Mm-hmm. Also want to point out one of her excuses why she can't leave is she has to work. She works one time and then her boss leaves for Thanksgiving break.
And she works at the school cafeteria washing dishes.
She danced because there's no kids there, so why would she need to do her dishwashing job? She doesn't. Her boss leaves, and she spends the rest of her time there, quote-unquote, working by dancing down the hallways.
And studying because she can't let her A drop to a B because she doesn't understand poetry?
Again, ridiculous.
Yep.
That's why I booed when you read out the writer.
We see a montage of her doing school stuff, washing dishes, swimming, walking around campus, being moody, you know, college stuff.
The stuff.
the stuff you do in college. Aaron goes to leave, and he tells her he loves her, and she doesn't say it back.
Oh, no.
Justine then goes to her dorm. She talks to Wayne, the security guard. And then says we see her go to do laundry, as Wayne fiddles with a fuse box and we hear about how they're having electrical issues and they're getting it fixed during Thanksgiving break.
How convenient.
So when all the lights keep shutting off and on, it's just the fuse box is acting up. It's the wiring on this super nice campus and this super nice dorm.
Yes, Jay, you know, Ivy League schools are often known for having shoddy facilities with bad wiring.
Justine ignores a news story about the people that are being murdered.
Four persons found dead in the area.
As it plays next to a vending machine, and she instead grabs, I don't know, like red vines out of the vending machine and walks past. Yes,
they might as well like been saying on the TV, local women named Justine are being brutally murdered in the area.
Justine gets back to her dorm as she was going to spend Thanksgiving with her roommate Nicole, and Nicole's like, never mind, I have to leave.
My daddy came home early, so I'm going home. You can have the BMW.
We're going to Aspen. You can borrow my BMW. Once again, like, this is a super nice, rich school. One of these people could have paid for her to just go home.
Yes. Like, she has friends. She has a boyfriend who's clearly deeply in love with her. Somebody could buy her a plane ticket.
So we learn that Justine is going to be alone on campus, except
she's not alone at all.
Except Wayne is there.
Another security guard.
Dave, the other security guard, is there. The
groundskeeper.
And the groundskeeper, Scott, are all going to be there. But also, Jeff, there would be so many more people there.
Not, I literally have been on a college campus at Thanksgiving time. Not everybody goes home.
I was going to talk about it a little bit later. We'll get to it here in a little bit. The next day it's Thanksgiving and we see Justine alone on campus and we get her doing stuff by herself montage, running around, jumping, dancing, not studying, not working.
Yes, not working on her grades at all, which again defeats the entire purpose of this. But whatever. Thanks, writer.
Justine leaves to go get some Ben and Jerry's, which, I mean, hells yeah, and some Mountain Dew and pumpkin pie for Wayne, the security guard. And he reminds her to tell Dave at the gate that she's a stay behind. Jeff, the gate. Let's talk about how unrealistic this movie is for a college campus.
No security whatsoever.
There would be security. There would not be a fucking gate to get on this campus.
No.
She is by herself. I went to what appears to be a much smaller school than this, and the entire football team would more or less stay behind. You would have multiple international students stay behind. You would have kids that would just stay behind for the hell of it.
Well, I mean, it's even less realistic for Thanksgiving than it is for Christmas, because a lot of people do go home for Christmas, but they don't go home for Thanksgiving, especially if they have to do a long trip or fly, because it's literally a month apart.
Yep.
So they stay for Thanksgiving, and then they go home for Christmas.
Yep. No, instead, she is the one person on this giant fucking campus with a security gate and a parking garage we will later see.
Yeah.
And she is the only student left on campus. There's not someone from residence life. There's not an RA. There is no one else but her.
Staff that work there, they don't just get the whole week off. They still work in the offices, except on actual Thanksgiving and Black Friday, usually.
The groundskeeper lives on campus. And him and the two security guards are the only people on this entire giant fucking campus are there.
An Ivy League school would have way more than two security guards. And also, if a security guard doesn't report in every so often, it sends an alert to the police, and then the police come.
Yep. Just, there were so many, I'm sitting there, and at this point I went, this movie is so unrealistic.
It strains belief, like I said, even worse than the Sacrifice Game. Because at Christmas, at least, you could understand, maybe. And that's also not a college, right? That's like a high school boarding school.
Yep. But yeah, I'm literally sitting there, and I'm just like, this doesn't make sense.
Especially, yeah, like you said, for like an Ivy League school, there's no way. There would be tons of people still on campus, way more security.
Plus, like, even because I was thinking, well, maybe the football team would be playing somewhere else. Now, if we're saying, because I think we're saying it looks like it's like Pacific Northwest area. I think it's where it's supposed to be. I mean, I'm sure it's shot in Vancouver and there, but like, but it's supposed to be like this Pacific Northwest area. If it's as big of a school as it appears, they would be playing like a California team, a Washington team, an Oregon team. Those would be the schools they would be playing against. So they could be on campus for Thanksgiving and then fly down on the Friday to play a game on Saturday.
Yes.
Like, or even like they could have Thanksgiving on campus and then fly down Friday to play fly down Thanksgiving night to play a game. But no one is there. It's just completely empty except her.
The whole infrastructure would be there too. You'd have the band people there. You'd have the cheerleaders there. There'd be tons of people.
It makes no sense.
Let's just go with the conceit that yes, Wayne, the other security guard and the groundskeeper are the only guys there. Okay. Wayne and the other guard get killed fairly early on in the hunt, quote unquote. As soon as he didn't check in and at the appropriate time, the security company would have called the police.
Yeah, like 15 minutes.
Yes, it's like if you don't press the button on your desk or whatever, like every half hour, they're going to call the cops.
All right, back to the movie.
Yes, rant over.
Not my biggest issue with the movie, but like
it's definitely an issue.
But it's the thing that I think like strains my belief in this movie like more than anything else.
It's rough.
Because like I could see we're not done. I could see like I'm thinking like there's some real small schools here in Iowa. I could see there maybe being four people left on campus.
Maybe for a real small one.
But like I went to a smaller school and there's more than four people left on campus. Like it's insane.
I went to Grandview, which is considered a pretty small school. Tons of people on campus at Thanksgiving.
All right. Okay. Now the rant's over.
And another thing.
Dave tells Justine he's gonna close the gate in an hour, so she has to hurry back, and she's like, oh, only be 20 minutes.
Bear in mind that the gate is so easily you can get around the side so easily, it's not even worth closing.
Right. Justine arrives at the convenience store, and we are introduced to Violet, who is just throwing magazines on the floor.
Yeah.
Tells Justine that she's pretty, likes her hair, likes her car, and then tries to touch her face.
This is the first opportunity where she's like, I love your car. Be like, well, actually, it's not mine. It's my friend's.
Yep.
Could have solved this entire thing.
It could have. Yeah. And then Justine goes to pay for her stuff. And Violet, like, I don't know, messes around with shit and is wearing like a pair of sunglasses. He's like, hey, Rockstar, are you going to pay for those sunglasses? I have the quote, but it's something along the lines of, hey, Rockstar, are you going to pay for those sunglasses? How much do they cost? Look at the price tag.
I want a discount.
Oh my god. But yeah, she kind of gets in an argument with him. Justine tries to pay for the sunglasses because she thinks this is really awkward. Yeah. And she's like, don't try to pay for me, Christy.
Anything from you, Christy. You're the one.
Justine goes to leave, and we see the shitty car from the beginning of the movie peel out of the parking lot.
Yes, of course.
Justine starts driving home, a little weirded out by everything that happened, rightfully so.
Gee, I can't imagine why.
And then almost slams into the back of that car. It's just parked in the middle of the road.
This brings us to problem number two, Jay. This quote-unquote cult acts so suspiciously and so brazenly in public. How have they not been caught?
Good question.
If this is how they do this. Because if I was that convenience store owner, I would have been immediately calling, like, hey, some crazy bitch in the parking lot just burned out and took off north or whatever.
And was, like, trying to touch, yes, like, my customers.
Threatening also, people.
Also, she, like, she drives to the middle of nowhere to go to this gas station. But it's like, this is a college campus. There would be infrastructure like that
right around
the yes. campus.
That kind of stuff grows up, especially if it's a school with rich kids who spend a lot of money. There'd be tons of stuff yep. right around there. All right, back to the thing.
Justine's, they kind of like try to block her path multiple times, but she's able to kind of fake him out, and she's able to speed past
him. I use my BMW powers to escape.
Justine arrives back at the school, gives Wayne his pie and Mountain Dew, and kind of is like, yeah, I don't know, there were some weird people, like, it's probably nothing.
See, I would have been way more specific at that point. They tried to run me off the road, they tried to corner me, you know, I think we should probably be worried about this. Hey, security guard, maybe you should call the cops.
Yep.
Nah.
She goes back to studying briefly, but then the power cuts out, so she goes to, like, a common area, calls Aaron, who says he's coming back to get her. And she falls asleep on a couch in the common area as Wayne goes on patrol because he hears weird noises outside. Once again, maybe with the two things that happened previously, call the cops.
Yeah.
Justine wakes up when she hears someone whisper, Christy.
I mean, it wouldn't even have to be anything crazy. All you'd have to do is put a call in and be like, hey, we've had some suspicious activity. Could, you know, roll a couple units out here to look around?
Yep.
And it's like the rich school, so of course they're going to be out there.
Oh, absolutely. She walks around the dorm looking for Wayne as kind of the power fluctuates. And occasionally we will see her facing towards us and someone walks past us, past the hall in the background.
Oh, my God.
And we'll get like a music sting.
So spooky. I hope their face isn't wrapped in tinfoil, Jay.
Oh, my. I That was another thing I forgot, was how goofy those tinfoil masks were.
Spare turkey wrapping, Jay.
She gets to her dorm and finds like a snuff film playing on it of the murder from earlier.
Oh, boy.
Playing on her laptop. And then she like left her dorm room door open. She also left another dorm room door open.
Sure, why not?
I don't know why these people have left so many doors open and unlocked, but whatever.
No one knows. Really.
She sees Wayne outside and tries to get his attention. And while she's doing that, Violet opens the door to her room because she's freaked out, but didn't lock the door to her room.
Yep.
So Violet walks in, calls her Christy again, like has a knife, and then basically tells her to run.
The hunt is on.
Yep. She runs. Oh,
hold on, Jay. Run to your God, Christy.
Justine like goes to the front to try to open up the front door to the dormitory, but they've like crowbarred the door shut, and then Wayne walks up and pulls on the door, doesn't once try to
move the crowbar out of the way, says he's on the side where the door is blocked. No, Jay, that would be crazy.
And then just gets bludgeoned to death with a baseball bat.
Yep.
Which
now starts the countdown clock, maximum of 30 minutes to get this done before the cops show up.
Yep. And then gets cornered by Violet and a couple of the dudes with tinfoil masks. And she says, you know, this is you need to run, Christy. And she goes, no, I'm Justine.
Yeah.
Which would have, the final line of the movie would have been better off like not being in the movie at all, and then instead having this like, you're cornered, Christy, or something like that, and she goes, I'm Justine, and then does the kill. It would have been such a better line than what they deliver in this movie
instead of a Rey Skywalker moment. Jay.
I'm Christy. Justine is dead. I'm spoiler alert, listeners. Justine is dead. I'm Christy.
I loved it when she was like, I'm Christy Skywalker.
Christy murder victim.
Almost.
Justine gets chased through the dorm. She finds another unlocked room,
yeah,
and then locks the door and escapes through a window as the killers try to break in with a different crowbar.
Wake me up when the chase is over, Jay.
Justine finds Nicole's car destroyed with Christy carved into the side of it. She runs to the library/cafeteria and hides in the kitchen, where they just immediately find, like, yeah, also just know to go to the kitchen.
Bear in mind, a giant college campus, an Ivy League school, or at least an upper tier school, would be massive. Multiple square miles of buildings. Hell, ISU is probably what covers at least 10 square miles,
if
not more. Yeah. That's just like the main campus. Yeah, but they just seemingly could track her everywhere
she
goes.
They know exactly what room she goes to. What, not only what building, but in what room she is in.
Yeah.
They have like limited omniscience.
Yes, they got also have the Michael Myers teleportation powers too.
No, the other one that because I was thinking too, I'm like, I think there were 10 buildings on my campus. And even if they knew that I went into the building with the cafeteria, it is two stories, and I don't think they would be able to find me that quickly.
No, it would take, but like I said, probably, especially like at a regular school, you would say it would probably take them at least a half hour. At a gigantic school like that, probably an hour at least to find you, even if they knew the building you went in.
Yep.
And by that point, the cops are going to be all over this place.
Yep. She kind of gets, you think the killer's found her, but she's moved, and then she, like, does a bunch of distractions and is able to escape from the kitchen area.
Yeah.
Classic horror movie. As she escapes, she sees the lights for the security vehicle on in the parking garage.
Yes.
Once again, how big is this campus? They have massive, a parking garage.
Massive.
And she goes up to investigate and finds Dave, the other security guard, dead. And she reaches into the glove compartment and grabs something. And is it ever revealed what she grabbed?
No, I don't think so. unless that's the key that she uses later. Is that what she's getting?
Oh, she probably grabbed the keys. The keys to the buildings.
Yeah.
She runs to Scott, the groundkeeper's house, and he lets her in. But the phone lines are cut. Once again, is there one central phone line and they cut every single one, or did they go around the whole campus and cut every single phone line?
Every building would have its own phone line. His house would have its own phone line. How much time did they take? Because they didn't even know this was the girl they were going to hit until they found her at the gas station. So they've known it for, like, what, an hour max?
But they've had time to cut every phone line.
Oh, and set up...
They know every inch of every school.
Set up a cell phone jammer. You know, everything like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It also seems like they're trying to use, like, older phones to, like, avoid detection, I'm guessing. But that's not how that works. You could trace the signal on any cell phone if you're a cop.
Scott, the groundskeeper, and his dog, Titus. Scott, by the way, was busy getting high during Thanksgiving break. Hells yeah, Scott.
So high.
I'm so stoned right now. But Scott gets his shotgun, and he kind of goes out to, like, confront the killers.
Like an idiot.
And then comes back inside. Because then his dog Titus runs off and he hears Titus getting murdered. R.I.P. Titus.
Again, how strong are these people? Because they have like hand weapons. You know how hard and fast a Rottweiler can attack?
And you just hear it run off, bark, and then just...
Yeah.
Scott goes back inside, thinks he sees one of the killers, so pokes
I got
the door
your
back
ass
open,
now.
And then gets pulled out the front door.
Yes. Okay. You literally are in a fortified area already with a gun, which none of them have. Just sit there and wait. Let them come through the door and shoot them.
Justine finds his phone and goes to leave and sees them hanging Scott with a garden hose.
Yep.
And she runs off. I think right before this, she tried to call 911 on the cell phone, but then was interrupted by whatever's happening. So as she runs back across campus, she gets a call from 911, and she gives them like all this information and, you know, tells them like, I've got a key to like all the buildings on campus. I'm going to hide in the library. And then they're like, sounds good, Christy. Which means
problem number three. So she's like, the groundskeeper's numbers all over, Christy.
His personal cell phone number?
His office number is all over. The one that would go to his office at the groundskeeping building, not his personal cell phone.
Not his personal cell phone.
It's like, who wrote this shit? Nobody bothered to do a second pass on this?
Apparently not. The killers send her a video of them stalking her, and then send a text that says, time to die, and then they cut the power to her phone?
Network lost, Jay. Yep. It's been jammed. You know how I love when your cell phone pops up, too, and says network jammed, like the system knows what's interfering with it, because, you know, that's a feature they build into civilian cell phones.
The four killers arrive at the library, and they kind of... stalk through it looking for Justine, who then sets a timer on the phone, throws the phone, and then they all run towards the timer. She runs up the stairs.
Apparently they work on zombie rules.
She runs up the stairs and like gets to the roof, turns around, and they've immediately got her cornered on the edge of the roof. They were just running in the opposite direction from her.
Yes, Jay, I know.
They're like, time to die, Christy. No. And instead, Justine jumps off the roof.
Somehow survives that with barely a sprained ankle.
Yep. And then starts running across campus. She sees her boyfriend Aaron's like Escalade pull in and like that's a finisher's car. You're right. tries to run into run to get him. And in the time that she's done that, Violet had time to get down the stairs, ahead of him, and direct him to the stadium where he follows her.
Where they have an ambush set up already.
And so Justine's like, no, Aaron, you need to get away. And he turns around and just gets stabbed in the stomach.
Yeah, instead of running back to his girlfriend who sounds like she's about ready to die, he's like, who are you?
And then just turns around. Jesus. Justine gets in his car, and instead of, I don't know, driving away, one of the guys gets on the hood and starts like hitting it with a hammer, and she keeps stopping and starting, like not driving very fast and then slamming on the brakes. You have to gather speed to slam on the brakes and get them to fall off.
Do you know how hard it is to crack car glass? A few hammer strikes with a regular hammer ain't gonna do it. You might put a crack in the windshield. That's about it. He was like busting it out, you know, like he had the glass breaker.
And then she just decides, fine, rams him in between like a wall and the hood of the car, like crushing his lower half, and then tries to start the car again. You just crashed the car into a wall.
Literally, all you would have had to do was speed up and then hit your brake suddenly and send him flying.
Or speed up and like take a really sharp turn.
Yes. Well, that would be dangerous. Literally, all you would have to do is speed up, hit the brakes. There is not a man on this planet strong enough to hang on to your car against a force like that. Not even like a steroided out bodybuilder would be able to. You can't fight physics.
She runs on. So she gets out, runs on foot to the swimming pool area.
Oh boy. It's her element, Jay.
One of the killers finds his way in, and Justine hides in the pool. I also thought this was really weird. We watch her get a pair of goggles. Mm-hmm. She then goes and hides in the pool and like holds her breath while he's looking for her, not wearing the goggles. And then she gets out of the pool. He comes back looking for her, and now she's wearing the goggles. Why wasn't she wearing the goggles the whole time?
Who knows, Jay? Who knows?
But he turns around because he sees water being poured into the pool, and she had turned something on, and so he's looking at that, and then when he turns around, she stabs him in the neck with the keys, and then they both fall into the pool, and he dies because I don't know, she's got an Olympic level swimming abilities, and he doesn't.
She's too powerful for him underwater. Yeah.
She gets out of the pool, sopping wet, and grabs a baseball bat and wraps it with like metal, like the metal twist ties, and puts nails like through the twist tie holes or something, and so she's got like a nail bat.
yep. And this is when I text you. I was like, there cannot be 25 minutes left. I mean
Jeff, there's like 8 minutes of credits. And that blew my mind. I was like, why are these credits so fucking long? The third hooded killer comes in, sees his friend dead in the bottom of the pool, follows her wet footprints to like the locker room where you've got like the classic yank a shower curtain back and there's no one there, yank another shower curtain back
and it's a recording,
and then it's a recording, and then he gets hit in the back of the head with the nail bat. And then Justine walks over and pulls his tinfoil mask off and watches the life leave his eyes.
And that's when I became a killer.
She then hears his cell phone go off, and it's a message from Violet.
You killed Christy yet?
Yep. Yes. I think she sends why.
Why?
And she's like, I got the car running. Get back. Sounds good. Or on way on is way. What she texts back.
Uploading video of Christy Kill.
Yeah, sends her the dark web address for this website. So now for this satanic website on the dark web.
Who turned off the ballot, Jay? She must have had time to take down the network jammer and everything else too, so they could use the internet.
Really again. Impressive.
And I was like, how are their cell phones working? If they're jamming all, because usually jammers like that jam all cell phone frequencies, not just one.
Right.
Unless they're dealing, maybe they got access to military grade equipment from all these cult cells around the country, Jay.
Also, I noticed one was in like, I don't even think it was Omaha. It was like more Council Bluffs area because yeah. They show a map and there's like an X in like Southwest Iowa.
Yep.
I'm like, yes, the famous Southwest Iowa colleges.
Yeah, because, you know, don't get me wrong. The police definitely fall down sometimes, but I think a countrywide satanic killing cult would probably pop up on somebody's radar, Jay.
You would think.
Especially with as sloppy as these people operate.
Earlier on in the movie, while Justine was in class, she was seeing about, I don't know, like making phosphorus or something.
Yeah.
And then that it lights on fire with water. And so she mixes a bunch of chemicals together, walks up to Violet and throws a bunch of these chemicals on her. Violet pulls out a knife because initially Violet thought it was one of the killers, but it was actually Justine. And then this would have been a great time for her to be like, what, you can't escape your destiny, Christy. And then this would be a great opportunity to say, I'm Justine, and then throw water on her, which lights her on fire, and records that, and then uploads it to the website.
She's a Satanist, so she could have gone with an Arnold-style one-liner, go to hell, light her on fire.
Yeah. Justine, we get a voiceover about Justine giving the network information to the cops.
Yes, and then, of course, there was a nationwide immediate crackdown because some random girl gave us information on a secret satanic cult.
That we've known nothing about. Yes,
no one had any information about prior, and it was through the entire country.
And then we get one final voiceover from Justine saying, Justine is dead. I am Christy.
Boo. Credits roll. Boo.
Jeff, did you see the post credit scene?
Unfortunately,
all right. I was unsure if you did or not. We see like two killers getting ready to jump a girl who's going to get into her house, just for someone in a hoodie to run up and stop them. End of movie. Completely unnecessary, like post credit scene. Even,
they really think they were getting a sequel for this. Jay.
I don't know what the purpose of that was, because it's like it's a Lifetime movie as well. Like,
yeah.
And then we get the scariest thing of all, the Weinstein Company logo.
Ooh.
Another movie about women in peril made by the Weinsteins. Uh-oh.
No, I wish the women had been in more peril, honestly. Didn't seem like she was in all that much peril, Jay.
It was light peril. All right, Jeff, well, which category do you want to start with?
Let's talk about the Thanksgiving spirit, Jay, because there's not a damn drop of it to be found.
Yeah, how Thanksgiving-y is the movie, how Thanksgiving-y are the kills. Yeah, I mean, what you just said. I will say, I thought it was a little Thanksgiving-y to have all the killers wearing tinfoil masks. Yes. So, you know, to remind you of all the things you wrap your Thanksgiving leftovers in.
I thought that was very Alex Jonesy. That's how they hide their waves from the government, Jay.
Oh, that's why the government was able to track them. They were wearing tinfoil hats.
Obviously.
Of course, it all makes sense now.
No, that would be the only thing you might be able to stretch. Because, yeah, Thanksgiving has nothing to do with this plot at all.
It could take place during spring break. So, honestly, summer break, because I think there would be no one there.
That would make way more sense if it was summer break. Or, like I said, Christmas break would be more believable.
Yep.
Because more people leave for that, and there's no football or anything around that time.
Yep. Or yeah, by then it's like bowl game time. Yes. Like
Yeah, unless you're going to the tournament or whatever, you're not going to be. And most of them go home for Christmas week anyway.
Yep. But yeah, other than that, and then I think the one line where Wayne's like, "Bring me some pumpkin pie,"
which gas stations have pumpkin pie.
I guess in the middle of nowhere too. I guess middle of the nowhere gas stations have pumpkin pie. And then also I guess like saying like, "Oh, for Thanksgiving, I'm having microwave turkey pot pie," which I think it's said like three separate times.
Three fucking times.
Any quotes?
Oh, I got some.
What are you thankful for? Favorite quotes.
Oh, God. You want to start or me?
All right. I've got a couple. Some good. I guess two are all right. And then one I thought was kind of a fun exchange. And I was, I don't know, 30 minutes into the movie, I'm like, are there going to be any good quotes? So I jotted one down. And then I got two that I actually thought were okay a little later on.
All right. You want me to start? Or
yeah, you can go first.
You got laid. You can hit the road now.
So the one we mentioned earlier. How much are these sunglasses? What does the price tag say?
I have that one. I also have, I want a discount. No. I want a discount.
If I just say, I should try that. I'll just go to a gas station and like, I want a discount.
In Einstein's worldview, God does not roll the dice with the universe, but in Heisenberg's, he does, Jay.
The guy who makes all the meth in that one show?
Yeah.
This one's kind of long. It's the exchange between Wayne and Justine. Also, a couple, because there's some of it, because like it's kind of fun. Some of it, because it does raise a question. Taking Nicole's little pony out for a spin. Justine, yep. Max Mart, Ben and Jerry's calling my name. Wayne, oh, copy that. Justine, can I get you anything? Wayne, no, I'm cool. Justine, are you sure? You're my Thanksgiving bud. Wayne, Mountain Dew, pumpkin pie. Justine, soda and pumpkin pie. Done. Now, she says Max Mart. When she gets out there, it's Market Max.
Yep. Man, it's just a hip, cool way to say it on college campus, Jay. It's totally not. She forgot what she was supposed to say. They just left it in because that's the kind of movie this is.
But I mean, hell's yeah, going to get like a pint and Ben and Jerry's. I feel that. Then also Mountain Dew and pumpkin pie. Hell's yeah.
Who are you? I'm the stay behind. I'm supposed to let you know I'll be back soon. Well, I'm closing the gate in an hour. That's okay. I'll be back in 20. Blank stare. That's the quality of the other security guard we have.
My last one is Scott. You gotta go real slow and explain to me what the fuck is happening, because I'm real fucking stoned right now.
I had that one. My final one was at the beginning. We kill the Christies and it's like killing God. And also, run to your God, Christie. I was like, good God.
Good.
What kind of shit am I into?
Just the whole satanic thing just felt completely so unnecessary.
They could have just been doing this for any reason. In fact, it makes even less sense because of the satanic angle. And like I said, it's a really bad comparison because in this you have a bunch of idiot goons in tinfoil masks. At least in the sacrifice game, you had a demon.
There was an actual demon. Yeah. Yes.
This is just a bunch of goofball losers.
That was the thing. I thought the satanic thing was so unnecessary to the plot that I literally like forgot that was part of it. And when it popped up, I went, are you fucking kidding me?
It actually makes less sense because of the plot, because they don't do any kind of ritualistic killing or anything. They just slaughter people.
And they just carve a K into their... Yes. It makes more sense... With that, I think it's like a Criminal Minds or an SVU, where it's, once again, it's Boomer writers trying to understand you know, the dark web and like 4chan culture and stuff like that. And so like they have all these things that just feel so cringy and written by not real people.
Yes.
And or written by people that weren't that age. And so you read it and you go, people don't talk like this.
Not even
And like, you know, so like where, you know, there's the term like Chad, and instead they use like the Scots. And it's the same, it means the same thing, but for whatever reason, they felt not to use the word. So instead of using like a Tiffany or whatever, they're like, they're Christie's.
Chad's and Stacey.
Stacey's
and Chad.
And instead she's like, it's Christie. And it's like, okay, so you just like you're doing a thing.
You're doing the
kind
thing.
Of.
Yes. Yes. It would make way more sense if this was like an incel group or something like that. You know, and they're like, oh, I hate these women and all their damn privilege. I'll kill them.
It would have, yes. Or just like, it's a group of like, or it's the strangers.
Yes.
And they're just so happy to like take these things and put them on the dark web.
It's because you were here. That would have been perfect.
Yep. And they just post their videos on the dark web. And there are cells of these killers going around. Like, that all would make sense. You don't need the added fucking satanic angle.
It makes it even more unbelievable that there is a satanic network spread out through the entire United States doing these synchronized killings for seemingly no sacrificial purpose, because literally all she does is text, hey, is she dead yet? And she's like, yeah.
Why?
And then she's like, okay, cool. They're not like gonna do anything with her or anything like that.
All right. Hey, hand turkey, Sats costumes. It's anything that tripped your trigger.
I mean, I thought the costumes were pretty goofy.
I thought the idea of the hoodies was brilliant, and then I was like, oh, I forgot about the stupid masks.
Tinfoil masks, yeah. Nothing really stood out to me. Like, I mean, it looks fine, I guess.
I liked the college campus.
The campus looks cool, but again, the more you see of the campus, the more it makes the plot not make sense.
Yep.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Like, I like I like it when a slasher movie does something different.
Tries to do something different.
And so like putting them on a college campus, great idea. Not when it's four people on this giant fucking campus.
Mm-hmm. It makes no sense.
One dorm over, there's like 20 people. They're all having a party because it's Thanksgiving break. It's Thanksgiving night. They're all getting drunk, and literally the rest of campus is completely oblivious to this girl getting murdered and all the security guards getting killed. And potentially because there's a security guard in her dorm, there would be a security guard in their dorm, and he's just gotten no notification. Like, he's like, I haven't heard anything from Wayne all night. Yep. I haven't heard anything from Dave either. Oh, well, I'll just keep sitting here watching SpongeBob.
And also, like I said, the giant nice college campus, as cool as it is, completely breaks the plot. Because, yes, way more people would be around. There would be systems in place for something like this if it did happen. Like we said, the cops would show up shortly. And three, it makes these people have to be omniscient and be able to teleport to keep up with her. Because there's literally no way that a group of these idiots could track somebody through this college campus that quickly.
No, it would have been days. Yes. People would have been back on campus. Yes,
she potentially could have hid out until people came back from Thanksgiving break. Especially since she knows this campus and none of them do. That's another thing. The Sacrifice Game has a member of the group of killers that actually is from the school.
Yep.
That knows how to get around.
Why, yeah.
Yes, and she knows how to get around. She knows what they're looking for. These are literally three random people and a girl who found her at the gas station. Nobody knows the layout of the campus or anything else.
Jeff, we've said it a couple times. I'm sure people know where we're going. Dry turkey, one thing you would fix.
The thing I would fix was set this at a different time and without the satanic cult angle. Those two things would make this way more believable, way easier to write off some of the inconsistencies in the writing in other places. If you just set this like Jay said, summer break would be perfect for this. Everybody's gone, but for some reason she can't go home. And so
she has to stick around for a May term. She has to stick around for some kind of reason. She has to do
one more thing or whatever before she can leave. Maybe she's only planning on staying an extra week.
In Dorm That Drip Blood, one of them's an RA and like the rest are helping to tear down the dorm. Maybe she's the RA and she's like, I've got to stay till all of you guys leave.
I got to make sure everybody's gone. And then I have to go through and do a checklist or whatever, make sure everything's done.
Yep.
And then, so that would make sense. Like, oh, well, the campus is going to be completely closed down at the end of next week. So we've only got a couple security guys and the groundskeeper's wrapping up when he needs to before he comes back in the fall.
Yep.
That would make sense. Way more sense than this. And the satanic thing adds absolutely nothing to the movie. Like Jay was telling me before we started recording, he forgot that that was part of the plot until the very end. And honestly, I didn't think of it at all during the movie.
Because it's unimportant.
It doesn't matter at all. Like I said, they aren't doing anything that requires them to be in a satanic country-spanning cult. It's literally just a slasher movie.
It's the strangers on a college campus.
That's what the writer pitched it as that. Yep. That's what the script was for. And I mean, even then, there's a lot of weakness in this writing. So honestly, I'm going to just say the writing is my overall dry turkey.
Mine is, I guess I had kind of the things we said, but I was like, I bet Jeff's going to say something along these lines. That Justine is dead. My name's Christy thing. Get rid of that whole fucking line. That line was stupid. That line was completely pointless. Like, instead, the post-credit scene, get rid of that, and instead just do the thing where, you know, they're taking down the network because she gave the police the information. Mm-hmm. That's at least believable, as opposed to then that last line, which is incredibly cringy, which would have been so much better delivered as a, like, as an Arnold-style one-liner. Mm-hmm. You need to stop while you're ahead, Christy. You're like, your time's up, Christy. And then she throws the water on her and says, my name's Justine. Go to hell. And like throws the water and like lights her on fire. Would have been a better line.
Mm.
And instead, no, we just have this stupid, Justine's dead. My name's Christy.
Excuse me, child, but what are you called? I'm called Ray. Ray Skywalker.
Ray Christy.
Boo.
Or I mean another one. That one gets a lot of hate, rightfully so. One that I think, because that one gets so much hate, people forget about. You should use your real name more often, Robin.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
the one time I literally stood up in a theater and like loudly just went boo.
Another Star Wars one. I booed at this during the Solo A Star Wars Story movie. The Imperial officer's like, what are you called, Han? What are your people? I don't have any. Han Solo. Boo. Boo.
It would have been better off if they just made a Lando movie. It's what, give the people what they want, Disney, a Lando movie.
Should have just made a Lando. It would have caused so many less problems. They just made a Lando
movie. Yep. All right, Jeff, moist turkey. Thing you want to praise.
You know, I honestly, it was hard to figure out because there were a couple things I thought that they did pretty well. But honestly, if I had to pick one thing to praise, I think other than the horrible lines that she had to read, just the actress that played Justine did a pretty solid job.
All these actors, like, I was surprised. I was like, okay, one of these people, like so many of these people, like they've got to have been in like nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was like big budget star after like big budget. And I'm like, what the fuck? Or and then like character actor after character actor. And I'm like, every single person had like 100 credits to their name.
There was a lot of acting talent in this movie. That's what I could say for it. And they tried their best.
They tried their best.
They were trying to carry this thing up the mountain, but they just couldn't quite make it, Jay.
My moist turkey thing I want to praise. While I didn't think the kills were Thanksgiving-y, I thought they were all good. If somewhat violence implied rather than violence seen, they felt gory regardless. Like someone getting hanged with a fucking
hose.
You know, people getting lit on fire, people getting crushed between like a car and a wall, like
the bloody dog collar being thrown back.
Yep, like there's some real gnarly kid fucking getting your head bashed in with a bat with nails in it. Mm-hmm. Like there's some real good like kind of implied gore in this movie.
Yeah,
even if not fully seen, like that can do enough to be. Sometimes that is enough. I know people will complain where it's like, oh, you don't see the kills, and it's like, but sometimes like when the implied gore is good, you don't necessarily need to see the kills.
Yeah, no, that's not something I would criticize this movie for. I thought the kills were fine.
Yep. All right, Jeff, final rating. It's a Thanksgiving episode, so we've got three different categories. We've got gobble gobble awful, we've got stuffingly scary, and we've got yamming it up. Jeff?
I think you know where I'm going with this. I gave The Sacrifice Game a 6 feet under, and The Sacrifice Game is better than this movie. So, you know, this is gobble gobble awful, Jay. The writing is so bad. It takes anything that was good about the movie and just drags it down. Because the whole thing, the more you think about it and the more of the movie you see, the less sense it makes. And it's hard to get over it. Because there's just so, it's like one or two things you could gloss over. Hell, on this show, we gloss over three or four things usually without complaining. But this is just issue after issue after issue stacking up. The dialogue is not good in a lot of cases. The actors do their best with what they're given. But it's just not good. It's not worth your time. I would say, even though I wouldn't recommend it either, if you're going to watch a movie like this, watch The Sacrifice Game instead.
So technically we've only done one Thanksgiving movie, and I put Thanksgiving as stuffingly scary where it deserves to be.
Yes, it deserves it.
This is like, I had fun. I don't think the movie was funny, and to me, you know, ho 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 hilarious, yamming it up, candy corny, those all mean like
needs to have some funny
good,
stuff.
Good
in
bad.
It. Yeah.
But like, I did have fun watching it. Like, I don't think this is unwatchable. I don't think, no. Like, this is far from, like, the worst movie I've ever seen. This isn't the sub-basements we've been discovering as we've been excavating some of these Christmas horror movies. And so, like, I'm like, this is P2. This is a less good version of P2, is kind of what I settled on. Like, and I think I gave P2 a seasonally scary, and so I think this is probably a real weak, stuffingly scary. If you like P2, check this out. And like, that's kind of my qualified recommendation. I don't think this movie breaks new ground in any way. I don't think the satanic cult thing is necessary at all to the plot. But if you liked P2, give Christy a try.
We just need to highlight this real quick before we move on. It is strikingly similar to The Sacrifice Game. When you said similar, I thought, you know, oh, it's because they're both satanic cults or whatever. It's like, no, this is way more similar than I thought.
That's the thing. When I said similar, it was because I'm like, girl left alone on a campus at a break.
Yeah.
Because I'd completely forgot about the stupid fucking satanic thing. Like,
satanic cult, girl left alone on a break, college campus / boarding school campus with hardly anyone on it. Chasing them throughout the school for most of the movie, weird dialogue. Just, I was having watched this so close to The Sacrifice Game, it blew my mind.
Well, Jeff, after eating all that turkey, it's time for a tryptophan nap. Okay. Let's do some reviews.
Oh boy.
So I think real fast on IMDb, this has a 5.9. And I think that's about where I would put this movie.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, if you're not sickos like Jay and I, and you haven't watched so many movies, I could see this being a middle of the road movie for you.
Yep. So I've got 3 1 stars and then 2 10 stars. And because I'm like, this kind of feels like these feel like kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. So 1 out of 10 should be designated as a comedy. I mean, there's nothing funny in that. I disagree. There's nothing funny in this movie. Once again, this does not meet the criteria for me to be a ho 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 hilarious.
Yeah.
A yamming it up, if you will. Because of yams. The plot is beyond ridiculous. I work with network engineers who couldn't pull off the technological stunts depicted here. As usual with contemporary horror movies, the good characters continuously make the stupidest decisions while the bad element is all-knowing and all-powerful. If you have an IQ,
I could see that. Yeah.
If you have an IQ above 80, pass on this. I gave it a bit over 30 minutes and bowed out. So you didn't even finish the movie.
And you really didn't get into any of it.
You didn't get into anything.
This movie doesn't even start until about 45 minutes in.
Right? Like, I'm like, what? 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 And there's nothing funny about this. Hmm. All right, go ahead.
This movie personally offended me. 1 star, 0 if I could. If you ever wondered what it would look like if Lifetime tried to remake The Strangers using only half the script and Spirit Halloween props and none of the tension of any of it, congratulations, you've already seen Christie. The killers have the personality of damp cardboard, the plot is thinner than the discount tinfoil of their masks, and not one character seems to have ever heard of electricity, phones, neighbors, or even basic human survival. This place is huge, and she can't hide out for more than 10 minutes without being found? Ridiculous. It's supposed to be a Thanksgiving movie and we don't even get a proper turkey scene.
It makes me wonder if she was like loudly every time we're seeing it from her perspective. There should be like Christy from the killer's perspective, and it's her just loudly like running and like running like Sydney that one scene in Scream where she runs really funnily, and it's them just watching her like do that across campus, and they're like, yeah, well, we know exactly where she's going.
True.
Like, that would make so much more sense.
That would be good. I would like that.
1 out of 10. Terrible. Horror that fails in everything it tries to do from start to finish. I think that's a little harsh. This horror in the first place does not scare the least, and moreover, it is a devastating banality that makes it even boring to watch. Moreover, the film tries to surprise by putting the whole story on a very large scale, but the fact of the sect makes no sense and adds ridicule to the senseless failure of the mission of the killers. No scene is beautiful or anxious. This film is an immense wave of senseless boredom seasoned with unnecessary banality. Once had to put it in twice, so you... Those $5 words. That makes it almost infinite for the boredom it generates. In conclusion, a really terrible film.
I wouldn't say terrible, but I mean, I agree with most of that. It is pretty boring.
There are things about it I agree with.
Yeah, I would say it's more of, in my estimation, if I was rating it, I'd say like a 3 or a 4, probably. Not like a 1.
I've got, all right. I still got 3 more, so.
1 out of 5, a bold statement on why editing matters. Christie is a triumph if the intended message is please stop making movies. It has all the menace of a lukewarm root beer and the pacing of a bored mall cop. Watching it made me long for the sweet release of death. The only suspense I felt was hoping the runtime on IMDb was wrong and the movie would end sooner.
I know you also thought it dragged on a bit. Once again, the 8 minutes of credits, yes, are a little deceiving.
The first time I checked the time, it was about 20 minutes in. And I was like, is anything going to happen in this movie? And then things finally started happening about the 35-minute mark.
And then like it breezes by for a bit. But yes, that last maybe 20 minutes does drag.
It's like you have the beginning... runs pretty good the first 15-20 minutes. Then there's like a lull before she gets to the gas station. Then things pick up again, but then it comes to a dead stop when she gets to the groundkeeper's shack again and hangs out there while he's doing his stupid thing with his shotgun. Then, yeah, you get a little bit more action, like she jumps off the roof and then her boyfriend shows up. And then, yeah, there's that long lull at the end where she's going around stalking these guys.
Yep.
Who are acting like idiots, NPCs in a video game.
It really felt like, yeah, it felt like Batman, like one of the Arkham games where you're doing the like stealth stalking of the bad guys.
Preparing to kill him. Yeah. Yep.
1 out of 10. Not that horror. I don't know what. I don't know. All right. Not that horror. I don't know. The first half of the movie was nonsense, while the second half didn't even include any horror seance at all. Okay.
All right, well, sure.
Compared to any horror movie, Jeff.
Anyone.
This didn't even consist with any dialogue. Privilege of being a scary movie, and also it didn't make much sense being in a hunt game. If it is a Wild Hunt, then how about something like The Purge? Enough violence, a dialogue, something to show the viewers, yeah, it is a hunt for the survival of the fittest in order to escape from the death game. Once again, they tell her to run. They multiple times mentioned that they're hunting her.
Yeah.
Also, this is the first movie to have an hour to finish. Congrats, .. That movie really rocked. Open parentheses in close parentheses, and then a YouTube link. So there you go. That I don't know what any of that review said.
I like it. I like it.
This guy should be hosting Horror for the Holidays. What I'm getting at.
He's got the energy for this show.
Jar Ellsman 2010. You're the podcast host now, dog.
You know, Jay, I searched and I searched. I was like, there's got to be some reviews from the actual Lifetime people that watch this. And there are. They're on Vudu, Jay.
Excellent.
What in the Lord's name did I just see? I thought this was going to be a nice Thanksgiving movie. Something wholesome. Next thing I know, a girl from Hot Topic is stabbing people while wearing a hood like a vagrant. I crocheted the entire time, so I can't say exactly what happened, but I know I didn't like it. No thank you, I will be sticking to Hallmark if this is what I can expect from Lifetime.
I simultaneously believe that is someone playing a character, and that is real.
I'm going to go with it's real.
All right, this is my second to last one. This is one of the ones in the opposite direction. 10 out of 10. Slasher gem worth the night in. Jeff, are you ready to have your socks blown off?
Yes.
Definitely one of the best slasher movies to date. It's definitely worth staying home on a Friday night for.
Oh my God.
Great acting and a guaranteed adrenaline pumping ride.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Nice! Exclamation point.
My morale is drained, Jay.
Definitely one of the best slasher movies to date in the entire history of slasher movies up until 2014 or whenever this person watched it. Let's say 2014, 2015. In the entire history of slasher movies, this one of the best ones to date.
It's literally ripping off another slasher movie.
It is.
It's a ripoff.
Once again, potentially kind of too, because when you said Strangers, I went, oh yeah, this is Strangers. But I was initially thinking P2. Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, you're right. No, it's a multiple ripoff.
Yeah, like it's ripping off so many different horror movies. But like Strangers would track with the time this was released. Oh, yeah. Strangers was a hit. I want to make a Strangers.
Mm-hmm. It's like Strangers, but at college, Jay. Yep.
All right. You got one more?
Mm-hmm.
I got one last one, too, so.
This is a bit of a long one. Let's be clear. Christie is not the worst horror film ever made. That honor is contested by dozens of brave contenders. But
Christmas Craft Fair Massacre.
But Christie occupies a unique, baffling category. A film that has all the ingredients for a solid, tense thriller and still somehow manages to screw up every single one.
Yeah, kind of.
It's a movie composed entirely of good ideas placed in the worst possible order, executed with writing with characters who behave as if they're allergic to realistic human decision making.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just a zero-star review, but let me tell you, this is a forensic teardown of how Christie collapses under its own pretensions.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes are actually effective. The opening snuff montage is unsettling. The deserted campus is atmospheric. Justine's situation generates empathy. but it squanders that tension almost instantly by introducing Violet, a villain whose entire menace comes from her ability to throw magazines to the ground and whisper the word Christy, like she's trying to curse a Roomba that's crossing her path.
And pick fights with cashiers at gas stations.
Yeah. The killer's ideology, murdering pure girls and uploading the footage to a shadowy online network, could be terrifying if it made any sense. Christie's cult operates like an edgy high school writing club. There's no hierarchy, there's no rules, there's no coherent symbolism. There's no reason why any of these people spread across the country would be working together. In fact, the killers in this group don't even seem to like one another. Violet barks orders like she's the boss, but nothing supports this except the script telling us she's in charge because we see her the most. The masked guys have no personalities, no names, no distinct role, no motivation. They're just expendable idiot NPCs who can take turns failing to kill one unarmed college student. The movie needs Justine to be trapped, I understand that, but instead of using clever constraints, it just makes the killers omnipotent. They can appear anywhere at will. They know where she is constantly. The only people on campus die instantly with no fight. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen. And apparently the killer cult can also hack computers, jam cell phone signals, coordinate attacks, but they cannot keep cars parked straight, hold a weapon correctly, or fight a girl wielding a pair of car keys underwater.
All this tracks, yeah. Yep.
How do you make a chase across an entire campus boring? Christy finds a way. Every scene follows the same structure. Justine runs away. Killer chases. Justine hides. Killer walks slowly, whispering, "Christy." Something loud happens. Repeat. It's like horror Mad Libs. Nothing escalates, nothing twists, nothing surprises. I really wanted to like this movie, but it's just so weird. And the post-credit scene is laugh-out-loud bad. The movie tries to set up the idea of a nationwide network of Christy killers, but the montage of police raids plays like a bad propaganda video. And apparently, the cult wasn't actually arrested because they're doing another one in the end credits scene. They're still doing it. Basically, with any scrutiny, this movie collapses completely, which is why I have to give it 0 stars. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's definitely not a recommend.
I agree
with that. I just wouldn't have given it 0 stars.
Yeah, I don't think I'd give it 0 stars. Like I said, I think this is fine.
I would say for someone who doesn't watch a lot of movies, I would say it could be probably like a 3.
Yeah.
For people like us who've seen all this a million times before, like a 2.
Like I said, I would give it like a 5 or a 6, but
well, I'm on a 1 to 5.
Yeah.
I'm reading.
Yeah. Which, yeah, okay. Yeah, we're about the same then. Mm-hmm. 10 out of 10. It's not a 1-star movie. I'm so tired of people rating a solid movie negatively because nothing new has been done before. Blah, blah, blah.
Is that you, Jay? You writing this?
I read this and I was like, this is a lot of my thoughts, and my eyes roll back. Your review has been done before. I'd love to see these people come up with something mind-blowingly innovative, especially a horror movie. It's generally, from what I see, the only reason these idiots give a movie 1 stars, so just don't listen. Yes, this movie has all the elements you would expect to see in a horror flick and has the cliches around every corner, so what? It still has a solid, suspenseful movie with acting that was very good, which I think we agree. The acting was all right. Good. I'm not going to tell you that the plot, which is another reviewer irk of mine. Nobody wants to read an 8-paragraph step-by-step synopsis of a movie they're about to watch. It's a great cat and mouse film. Home Alone meets horror, which I don't think it's that.
Yeah, it's
but,
not that.
I enjoyed it. The only real negative thing I have is the knife sound scraping against metal. Please don't next time. It adds nothing to the movie except cringe. Oh, and why are the bad guys wearing tinfoil on their faces?
Good question.
A beanie cut with eye holes would have sufficed. Tinfoil does not add a creepy factor. It's ridiculous and silly.
Yep.
Also, but once again, the satanic thing, but whatever. Anyway, it's not a 10. I rated it that, like many, to negate the ones. It's a solid 7. It deserves a watch. Which I don't think it's a 7. I think it's a 5. But I would also say, like, it's not terrible. That's fine. That's fine.
Bonus review, Jay. 5 out of 5.
Bonus. Bonus to the bone.
The Thanksgiving slasher we deserve.
Thanksgiving?
Lean. mean, beautifully shot,
and
anchored by Haley Bennett, absolutely unleashing final girl fury. The last 40 minutes are pure survival adrenaline.
I don't know about that.
This is the movie I recommend every November. Forget Turkey. Watch Justine turn into a one-woman flamethrower.
It's like this movie is another movie. This is like You're Next, including like the kind of the twist and the final girl like taking the people down kind of one by one. This also kind of reminds me of You're Next, but it's not. It's not that at all.
it's okay. Like I said, we've talked about this so many times. A movie can't just be okay, Jay. Not anymore. There's no space for the middle of the road movie. It's either the worst thing you've ever seen or the best thing you've ever seen.
Yep.
That's all the internet can review.
All right. Well, Jeff, let's, we've only got one other person on our Thanksgiving list, on our Thanksgiving guest list.
John Carver all these idiots without low diff, Jay. John Carver sweeps low diff.
I agree. There you have it.
Tinfoil masked losers.
John Carver would just be like, what the fuck is this?
He would have fun butchering these people.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what he would do, Jay? He would do it in a Thanksgiving themed way.
Having Thanksgiving things happen for this movie would be fantastic.
I don't know, Jay. I really don't know.
Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Garbage Day!
Huh? No!
Turkey sound effect. Oh boy, what are we gobbling today, Jay?
So originally, and listeners, you'll know it when it comes because I'm furious. Over 10 days ago, I got a notification that the thing we were supposed to eat for today had shipped. I hadn't gotten it, so I checked where it is. It still says like whatever like shipping notification, like waiting for pickup or something like that. So I don't know when the thing we were supposed to do today is supposed to arrive, but when it shows up, I will unleash my fury on that company then.
Okay.
So in the meantime, we've got some Christmas treats to try.
Okay.
Here's a holiday creamy vanilla Coca-Cola.
Oh boy.
Is it different than vanilla Coke? We'll find out.
We will.
We've got some Twix Snickerdoodle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
We've got a Werther's Original Cookie Butter Cream.
Ooh.
And a Werther's Original Gingerbread.
Oh, cool. Everybody knows you got to double up on the Werther's, Jay. Here we go. What do you want to do first, Twix?
Yeah, we'll do the Twix first.
All right, here we go. Twix time. All right,
Snickerdoodle Twix. I'm assuming Snickerdoodle flavored caramel. Okay, so the cookie's not a Snickerdoodle. That's okay. What I was hoping for.
Okay, let's try it out. Getting a little bit.
I don't know if I would call that Snickerdoodle.
No.
But the initial bite, I was kind of chewing it, and I went, this is just a regular Twix. Like, they bamboozled us. Mm-hmm. But the more I chew it, like, the more there is, like, a hint of something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I would call whatever that something else is Snickerdoodle.
Yeah, I don't know. I know what you mean. There's something there beyond a normal Twix, but I can't describe it. J-Logs, and of course, getting the three chewiest possible items.
Yeah, it was... Blame the company that's yet to be named. Although I probably would have still put these three things together. Not thinking about audio quality at all.
What do we normally do? Don't we do the Thanksgiving feast from Dracula?
Oh yeah, we do normally do that. That's not who I'm mad at. We do have that. We could, You know what? We'll do that on the stocking stuffer while we're ranking
our mule
choices. While we're doing our draft.
I will say I like on the Werther's gingerbread man, there is a little gingerbread man on there.
Oh, that's cute.
That's cool.
All right. Real fast, taking a sip of this holiday creamy vanilla Coca-Cola. Stronger than, I don't know that like this is different, but it does.
More vanilla.
More vanilla flavor.
It's a little treat for you for the holidays, Jay.
I would like it if vanilla Coke tasted more like that.
Yeah. No, I like it. Stronger flavor.
Yep. I think that's pretty tasty. All right, let's do a gingerbread.
All right.
Would you like your where there's no grandma?
Damn it. A little bit of the smell, but not too much.
Pretty strong gingerbread flavor.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. I mean, it's what's advertised. It's where there's a gingerbread flavor.
Gotta get it out of my teeth. Maybe some Coke will help me clear the gingerbread. The caramel. Oh my. There's so much caramel.
I could get rid of this damn caramel if I didn't have so many fucking teeth.
All right, I think I'm okay. All right.
I survived. Barely.
All right, let's try cookie butter cream.
Let's do it. I don't know exactly what flavor it's supposed to be, but I don't hate it.
I would say it's holiday flavored. I don't know what that means.
You know it when you taste it. Honestly, it's more snickerdoodly than the Twix is.
Yeah, I think Twix is bottom.
Yeah, I think I'd go Twix, then probably the Vanilla Coke, because it's Vanilla Coke, just a little bit better. And then probably this, then the gingerbread being top.
I think I would. I think flat out at the bottom is the Twix bar, like
for sure.
Not even question. And then I think it's probably the it might be the gingerbread and then the cookie butter. I really like the vanilla Coke. I think that holiday vanilla with the, just the. I really like that strong vanilla flavor. I wish vanilla Coke tasted like this. But yeah, like those three things, it's like there's a gap between that shitty Twix snickerdoodle
and then
everything else. Like everything else is way ahead of it.
The Twix is way down there.
Like calling it fourth is only because there's only four things.
Yeah.
If there were 10, it would be 10th. Like
definitely.
Unless it were 10 gross things. Like I don't know. Anyway.
Nah, I don't know where we're going with any of this.
All right. Well, Jeff, if you want to get in touch with us for our Garbage Day segment, send us an email. horrortheholidays@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Christy Thanksgiving movies. I don't know. Your opinions on if your college campus would only have four people on it at Thanksgiving break. Let us know all those things. horrortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror the number 4 holidays.
youtube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, leave us comments, comments and reviews on the podcatchers. 5-star reviews, of course, because those are the only ones we read, but 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko. Yep. And listen to the show.
We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Go over there. Listen to
Totally Rad Christmas.
Yeah, Seasons Eatings, Tis the Season, all the good stuff. Merry Britmas, Holly Jolly Xmasu, Holidays After Dark. Give all those guys a listen. They're better than us. Don't listen to them. Only
listen to Horror for the Holidays. You are mandated to ignore all of their shows on the Christmas Podcast Network.
Yeah, just listen to us. But we're happy to be part of their network.
Christmas Podcast Network, continue promoting the show.
otherwise, we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Back with a Christmas horror movie.
Yes.
And but next week, it's a little stocking stuffer, and we're going to be doing a draft of Thanksgiving foods while we eat Dinosaur Dracula's Snoopy Thanksgiving meal.
Oh, our friend of the show, Mike Lombardo, is in the home stretch of finishing shooting his new movie. If you feel like giving, go to Indiegogo's Dead Format page and buy a perk.
Yep. Yeah, he'll I'm sure he'll be back on at some point to promote Dead Format, and also, I don't know, to talk about Chud 2, Bud the Chud, or something.
Yes, his favorite movie.
His favorite movie, Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Plus, of course, Dead Format is a huge smash hit, and then he leaves us behind.
Yeah, I mean, he would. He would.
You know, the sad part is he probably wouldn't, and we would end up dragging his career down.
Yeah, they'd be like, why does he keep going on that fucking Horror for the Holidays podcast?
No, those guys are podcasts off with a couple of fat losers.
Those are the worst people I've ever...
These are the worst people I have ever seen. Ever.
With everything going on, and it's those two fat losers. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Bye. Goodbye.